This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, 3 o'clock. Great to have you with us. If you are looking for Pistons talk, first hour, start to finish, Odyssey.com Rewind. Unfortunately, we got to do this JMO stuff. So I want to do this a couple different ways. Obviously, want Rico's take on this. Wasn't here yesterday. But then there's new stuff today, or is there? I don't know. Are you okay? All right. I was worried we were losing you there. I don't speak internet person stuff, but here we go. I want to just read this excerpt. It is kind of all-inclusive, and then really it's up to you guys. You know my stance on this. I don't see a way that you trade Jameson Williams and you're better this year. I am all in to win a Super Bowl. I cannot possibly find a way to lose Ben Johnson and J-Mo in the same offseason and then sell my fans. We're trying to win a Super Bowl. However, reportedly, CBS Sports, who has amended the headline, it started out with J-Mo unfollowing the Lions. One problem. He may not have ever followed them in the first place. Do what you want with it. Reportedly, a belief in NFL circles, the Lions could trade J-Mo, former first-round pick who's entering the final year of his rookie deal, CBS writes. Speaking of his contract, the Lions need to decide by May 1st, like next week, if they are picking up his fifth-year option, which is one of the things driving the trade rumors. Williams has also posted, this is today, this is right before the show, stay sucker-free on social media, a possible sign something's going on between him and the Lions. If you want to decode that, feel free. It's safe to say the Lions would get something decent for him. Had a breakout year, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Then they go into landing spots, and I don't want to do that because, A, I want to return to the part where we go, why the hell would we trade him? I understand the fifth-year option is more expensive. Noted. I also understand the salary cap is going up, up, and away. I have probably a two-year Super Bowl window. I have J-Mo for 2 years. I then let him go into the sunset. I get a comp pick when he hits free agency and gets overpaid. Now, here's my problem. And then I'm literally walking out of here and Rico's taking you to six. My problem is this. Here's what it seems like, sounds like, feels like. And for all the let bread cook people, you're going to be upset with me. And I'm sorry. I'm not trying to make you angry. This looks like, feels like, sounds like smartest guy in the room behavior. Because ultimately, why am I in a rush to sign J-Mo anyways? Now, if he doesn't want to sign or I don't want to pay him top of the market, which, look, you may not think it, but J-Mo open market to a team like the Patriots, to a
Cowboys.
Team like the Jets, the Cowboys, he's going to be the better part of $25 million. You can't have him with Amon-Ra. So I'm going to use the last 2 years and let him go. If he doesn't sign, and that's the genesis of trading him, I question what the goals are. Because, Rico, for me, they're in it. They're knee-deep in a window right now. I got to have this guy. Only guy I have takes the lid off. And you got to be very careful. I don't want any Jim Costa Goff slander. You better be careful trading your quarterback's toys. Because his margin is not, he is not Mahomes or Burrow and can play without these guys. So that's where I stand. I want to know where people are. What do you make of the social media thing? I know we've seen Deebo Samuel do it, and he got out of town. We saw A.J. Brown do it, and he got out of town. This is what receivers do. I can't speak to it. I don't speak internet. What do you make of the rumors? What do you make of today? Rico Beard.
I think there's something there. I think there is some smoke, Mike, because whenever receivers do that, it means that negotiations have broken down. And I don't know if it's them. I don't know if it's their agent. I don't know if it's their family telling them, well, here's a way you could stick it to the team without really sticking it to the team and apply pressure and get the people to back you and the people to demand that they keep you and they pay you. But normally when you see this, there's something going on. Now, a lot of times it'll be a 180 reverse turn and, hey, I love this city and, okay, I can't wait to be here, hashtag grit. But this means to me something's going on. There are just too many rumors floating out there about specifically just him. Not Brian Branch, not anybody else. It's just J-Mo, which leads me to think they're either fielding phone calls or they're putting out feelers saying, hey, if we were to offer him, hypothetically speaking, what would you ask for back? It's gotten back to him, and I think he's upset. Should they do it? No, not if you're trying to win it all right now. But I do think the Lions may be looking at other teams and saying, we don't want what happened in Cincinnati to happen here. I don't know if J-Mo will take the deal that we offer him, or is he going to say, I want to break the bank and I want to be like the Cincinnati receivers and I want to get a ton of money and I want all the balls thrown to me. This sounds to me like Brad is looking towards the future if, looks like, seems like, feels like this is true. It does feel like the Lions are looking at the future saying, I don't think we'll be able to re-sign him. So if that's the case, let's see what we can do. Let's see how much value he has. And if the value is not that great, we keep him.
Time out. Well, but why is that? 248-539-9797. I'm talking to Rico first. I'd love to talk to you guys about it. Why is that even a consideration? Like, is it wrong of me to just on principle go, I cannot trade this man. I cannot worry about 2027. I'm looking at this right now. Mm-hmm. Is there any scenario where I'm a better team trading Jameson Williams? My answer is no.
No, it's not. But I'm holding Brad to his words when he came out and said, we're going to have bills to pay in the future. That means he's looking at trying to cut some costs and save some money
for
certain people.
Then you're not a serious person. Because this town has waited an eternity for a Super Bowl. They're in the window right now.
Brother, I'm with you.
No, I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at the sky. It's okay. What old people do. Okay. Then you can't be a serious person if that's the case. Like, Brad Holmes is so intelligent. How the hell could you sit here and go, you know what? I'm actively going to hurt our Super Bowl chances this year because of 2027. That's insane. I don't want to call on you. See, I'd be a terrible teacher because he'd be a pain in the ass student raising her hand every 3 seconds. Yes, Mr. Beard in the front row.
See what I think is.
No. Go ahead.
Do you want to win the Super Bowl? Do you want a 2-3 year run where you go for it, but then you fall off? Or is it better and more advantageous for you to stay relevant for 10 years? You may not win the Super Bowl, but you'll be in the playoffs a lot. You'll be able to charge money to your fans for tickets because they're going to be in high demand because you're always going to be a team that's always kind of hovering around. You may not be the Super Bowl favorite. I'm with you. I know how you feel about it, Mike. I feel the same way. When that window opens up, man, do everything you can because it's going to close very fast. But when I heard that Brad Holmes press conference, the biggest thing I took away was they're looking towards the future. When he was like, we're going to have bills to pay, or I'm paraphrasing, but he was more worried about the future than right now. And I'm not saying you got to go full F them picks, but you know what? I don't care. Bring in whoever you have to, because in about 2 years, you won't be the same team. I just don't see it that way because you're going to have to make, okay, what are you going to do with Goff? What are you going to do here? What are you going to do there? So, yes, it makes more sense to hold on to J-Mo and just go all in and add more pieces to the D-line. But, hey, who am I? I've been saying this for years.
Lions fans, talk to me. I don't know where the stuff keeps coming from.
But I think it's there.
I didn't deny it. I don't know where it's from. It's like Ghostbusters. I ain't denying there's a ghost. I just don't know where the hell it's coming from. The J-Mo thing, obviously, can you
negotiate in public, float some rumors, and, you know, J-Mo's people go, look, we better sign or they're going to ship your ass out. Yeah, sure, it happens.
I mean, look at Trey Henderson. I'm going to put this out there. Zillow is my favorite app. Okay, we all know what that means.
At least with the Hendrickson thing, look, it's been a three-year saga. I'm okay if it gets weird. If you're J-Mo, I don't know why the Lions are running to sign him. You just trigger the fifth-year option and figure it out later. I'm not being flippant, Rico. It's just the cap is going up $15, $20 million a year. Bills are due. Yeah, it's called restructure contracts.
I'm with you. I saw the Jets just did that for Sauce and was like, yeah, we'll give you your fifth year. We'll worry about it later.
That's it. Yeah. Look, 248-539-9797. Today's reports, look, I don't speak internet, so if you want to tell me what J-Mo did or didn't do online means or doesn't mean something, feel free. I know what happens when the words social media and wide receiver take place. Generally, it's not good. I can't say he unfollowed the Lions because apparently he never followed them. Don't care. The whole stay sucker free thing and something about loyalty. If you guys have
either you're with me or you're not, there's no middle, something.
If you have your little orphan Annie decoder and you'd like to explain that to me, thank you. But what are we doing here? Because if they trade J-Mo, what does that say to you as a Lions fan? Because you were 15-2 last year. You were in the NFC title game the year prior. You did have a ton of injuries. You did not go all in this offseason. You simply kept your own people. Well, that is, to me, saying we know we have a Super Bowl team. Trading J-Mo would undo a lot of that. So let's just talk through it here. And if you're asking me, well, is he going to be dealt draft night? I still have a hard time believing it's real because how would they explain that to anyone? How would you explain it to Dan Campbell?
I had a hard time believing it was real, Mike, but the smoke won't go away.
By the way, white smoke, black pope. There's a dude from Ghana who's plus 400 in the betting odds. Come on, man. Black Pope.
Come on, man.
We're doing a papal conclave Thursday.
We are.
Did you listen at all yesterday?
A little bit.
We're going to vote on the draft pick at 28 until there's only two candidates left. It's going to be a full conclave. David's wearing a papal hat.
It's the Black Pope. All right.
Dude, I swear to God, the guy's
No, I've seen the. Because I was wondering, like.
Plus 400. Cookies told me. Cookie said it. Value.
Where can you bet on this?
What is it? What was the site David pulled up yesterday? I'll get it for you. Don't worry about it.
I think you're lighting your money on fire, but okay.
Hashtag Black Pope. That's actually live from the conclave at the Vatican. All right, 4 o'clock. Great to have everybody. We're going to give you as much content as we can here in 2 hours, so let's dive in. How was your day? I don't care. Let's go. So here is where I am at. And I want Rico to be the arbiter of justice here. With respect to your first place AL Central Detroit Tigers, your 15-10 Detroit Tigers, I've alluded to this all week, that amidst draft talk and J-Mo and the Pistons and the scintillating win and all of it, we haven't been able to talk Tigers. Now, I want to do that now, and there's an angle to this.
Okay.
I know 15-10 doesn't look seismic on paper, but when you extrapolate the numbers out, you start to really see what this is. 30-20, 60-40, 90-60. I want to just say I can't be more excited about the way they've started. You and I had, I think, both very real and legitimate fears that Parker Meadows being out was going to kill this team.
Yes.
They didn't get the memo because they're on their 17th center fielder. They're essentially starting Paul Reed in center. And it doesn't matter.
Center field chaos.
Sure. The pitching, we knew it would be legit. It's even better because Casey Mize has just looked like the guy. Hey, I drafted a guy number one overall. He's got to be really good. Mize has been that. Torkelson has been one of the stories across the league. Hitting. I'll do this for Kenny. Audience, don't get mad at me. It's just a bit Kenny and I have. Imagine what they would look like with Wyatt Langford. Okay, I got it out of my system. Now, here's...
Ask what time the wings play.
Half past never. But here's my point. Rico, I believe they're the class of this division, but I want to put a number to it. I want to say this today
on April 23rd where I'm at. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I don't care. I think this is a 90-win baseball team. I think this is a baseball team that's a 90-win team that's going to win this division. You have to begin believing at a certain point where Mize, there's just no fall off, where they're winning series, plural, right, and stacking them. Look, I understand the Padres played on Sunday Night Baseball, and I know that's a tough turnaround. You shut them out the last 16 innings you played. The game you lost was a 2-0 game. You tamed this wild beast of a lineup that it's been better than the Dodgers. And I wanted to know from people, and I want to know from you, if you're saying, Michael, you are overreacting, that's fine. But I want to know who's with me on this. 248-539-9797. I'm willing to say it and look like an idiot. No big deal. This is a 90-win baseball team. And it doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to be, well, these players. Look, it's the collective that together it works. And if Torque is what we're watching, that is a transformative bat in the lineup. So, Ricardo.
I think you're close. I may not go 90 wins, Mike, but I can meet you.
Oh, cat enthusiast.
No, I'm not a cat enthusiast. Nah, it's just because of baseball, because they're going to hit a bad spot where, you know what, they may hit a 5-6 game losing streak. And it could be tight game. It could be 2-1, but they're losing games. I see where you're going with this because I do think that for some reason, whenever you write this team off, it's the wrong thing to do because they just keep winning. And it doesn't make sense, but don't ask for it to make sense.
Yeah, I know.
You just take the wins.
Look, they haven't even gotten good Riley Green yet. You know, they haven't gotten, I know he hit today, but Glaber had been hurt. Like, they haven't gotten everything from everyone yet. Torque has transformed it. The McKinstry thing, when he fades away, somebody else will pick up the slack. The center field thing, I've given up. I'm pretty sure they could start Bernie Lomax in center. It won't matter. I won't, because I'm hopeful at some point it's Barker Meadows. And from a pitching standpoint, we knew the pitching would be good. Mize being here and pitching the way he's pitched, it's transformative, because if Mize basically becomes the fourth number two, well, the third number two. There's only one Scooble, mm-hmm, but then Flaherty, Olson, and now Mize all are pitching like number twos.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I'm not that far, even though you called me a shameful name.
Blank Willow.
I'm at high 80s. Okay. I'm not quite there at 90, but here's the thing.
Just say it. Come on, you want to.
Well, you know, Sparky said I had to wait till 40 games.
But that's not how radio works. I just know what I'm watching every night. And look, they don't play exciting baseball, okay? You got to let go. I know it bums me out sometimes that I'm like, oh my God, let this game end so we can go on the air. The point is,
here's the thing. I am willing, I may not say 90, but I'm willing to say, you know what? They're a good team.
What am I going to do to get you tonight? What do I got to do to get you to say AL Central champs?
You know what? Screw it.
90.
I'll toss in two games.
That's right. That's right. It's like when Rico's at Founders Night. He's getting loose. He's got the crest on, and all of a sudden, it's a party. Look, I want to hear from you guys. And David, Kenny, if you guys want to say I'm nuts, go for it. But I'm just a show-me fan, and I'm not going to lie to my listeners. I know what I'm watching. If this is who they are, it's a 90-win baseball team. They can absolutely win the division. They don't have to think about a wild card. You can win it.
Well, but,
and it helps the division's awful. It is.
But I was just saying, like, this is just a good team. Like, I know we look at all the other teams like, well, the Dodgers and the Yankees. Like, at what point? Yeah, so's Detroit. They're a good team. So it's not out of the realm, Mike. Now that I think about it, I had them at 88, 87 wins.
Yeah, just go to 90. Just do it.
Let's just do 90.
The water's warm. Jump in.
We're 90.
Yes.
We're 90.
How about 92? All right, no, David, you're shaking your head. What's the problem?
95?
There is no... Wow, okay, 95. Okay, hold on now. Slow down. You're going very, very fast there.
Never should have given me that drop.
Here's what I'll say about the Detroit Tigers. Here's what I say about the Detroit Tigers is the torque factor changes me a little bit. because I thought they were more of an 84-win team, but that was without him. He's contributing, and I believe that that will continue through the season. Of course, we'll have his lows. We'll have, it's baseball. It's a long season.
Correct.
But 90 wins, I think I can lean in that direction there because we don't have Parker Meadows back. We don't have Veerling back. And whatever, I have to believe, whatever we decide to do at the deadline, add, that will help us get to 90 wins.
Yeah, and understand, too, I said 100 ABs and you can start judging a guy. Torque's at about 90. He's got an OPS north of 950, which should translate, I think, to something over plus 175 on OPS plus. Forgive me if I'm slightly off. The point I'm making is that's an impact bat. So you want to say, what do you believe after 25 games? I can tell you they've stacked four series wins in a row. The pitching is there. I'd say 9 out of 10 nights. And yeah, can the lineup be prone to needing to win some close games? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's not a finished product. I think this is a division-winning caliber team. And I didn't believe that in spring training with the loss of Parker Meadows, not signing a right-handed bat. And you end up, look, Kenny, what would they be if we had Wyatt Langford too? Okay, we're done. That's it. Out of my system.
And here's the other thing.
Fans don't get mad. That's a bit.
You know who we're not talking about?
Harvey. Yeah, I know. He was Willie Mays in center today. Go ahead. Get it out of your system, everybody. Yeah. Everybody wrap both hands around the flagpole. Go ahead.
Javaze Baez. Baez.
Right. New Dominican prospect.
No, but I'm like, even Javi's contributing. Like, things are just falling into place. We're not, I don't think that it'll continue this way, but you know what? He's just a decent ball player, which is what we've been saying. We lowered the bar. He's clearing that low bar.
Right. Kenny lowered the bar to just not absolutely awful. That's the bar.
Yeah.
Don't hurt me when you put on, when you swing the bat or go into the field. That's the bar. He's cleared it. People, where do you stand on it? I think it's a 90-win baseball team. And I think a lot of it's real. And part of this is, Torkelson doesn't look overmatched on fastballs. He's driving the baseball. The at-bats are good. You're getting quality. You're getting some walks. Not everything's clicked. I wouldn't think this highly if everyone on this team was hitting the cover off the ball. No. I think there's room for growth. And guys, please don't be insulted, but 2-6 provides reality, not like, you know, ball-tingling dream state. This division blows. And you are the benefactor. I mean, I'm sorry. Minnesota, who continues to lower their payroll, Kansas City's whatever, Chicago. And the Sox are just a nothing burger. It's you and Cleveland, okay? But you're a 90-win team. And I absolutely want to upgrade my belief of, how about this? If you're a 90-win team, the goal is to win this division. And if Cleveland wins 95 or 96 games, you tip your cap, but you're in the playoffs too. Yeah. But the goal is win the division. Yeah. Because I'm telling you, they've got the pieces. It's there. Right. I'm buying Torque stock.
No, I bought Torque stock this spring, but
Torque is the new NVIDIA.
Yeah, I just look at this team and it's just like, wow, they are. I just needed them to be 500 for Parker Meadows.
Search your feelings for the words, Rico.
And they are just exceeding expectations. And I feel like I did at the end of last season where we kept saying, you know what, this. Is it, how long will this? And then I just gave up and said, you know what? I'm going to ride this wave.
You go with it.
I'm riding this wave again because it's working. AJ is just, he's putting on, performing a masterclass right now. I don't know how he's doing it, but he's doing it.
So are you riding with me on it? I think they're a 90-win team. I think you got every right to think, you know what? We're going to win this division. After 25 games, I've given you the reasons why. If you disagree, you're not a bad person. And I don't think it makes you a hater. I don't think it makes you a bad fan. I don't think it means you're like, it's okay to say I'm not ready to go there yet. But I figure if I feel this way, I may as well tell my audience. Last I checked, that's what we do here. 248-539-9797. More of the people. And by the way, I am going to offer you something at 5 o'clock that will make tomorrow night at LCA a lock. You just got to follow orders. I'll explain.
You are very generous.
Thundersticks. No, definitely not that. 97.1. Well, hello there. We got a lot to get to. I'm going to do my damnedest to balance it all. I'll probably fail. Hopefully you, the listeners, can help us. Because
Tonight is one of the best sports nights of the year in this city. I think the attention split is going to be something we address at 3 o'clock. Normally, the draft would be my A, B, C, and D priority. Tonight, I think the draft might be relegated to the iPad. We're going to get to it. It's all about Pistons Knicks for me, but we'll talk about the draft, certainly. But any of this stuff trying to figure out what the Lions are doing, like any of us or any of you have a clue, is a complete fool's errand. It's a waste of time. You zig, Holmes is going to zag. So we're going to get to it because we can play scenarios and have a little fun with it. But no, we're not going to seriously break down pick 28 because, candidly, guys, hell, I haven't watched some of these players. Hey, take Chet Zabin from North Dakota. Haven't seen him.
Greg Zabel.
Whatever. Steve Zabin. All right.
NFL film.
I want to get into this. Can we just start with Kirby Joseph?
Yep.
I don't know if fans are going to choose violence. Rico, I want you to tell me if I am just a victim here of Cialis City. I've laid down my sword. I just don't care anymore. Like, there's no sense yelling or even getting mad at what the Lions do because, A, fans just drink the bathwater. If you criticize Holmes and go, geez, I don't really want to pay a safety $22 million a year at the cost of losing XYZ, they'll say, well, we want to be good for 15 years. Mm-hmm. I'll say you didn't win a playoff game last year. Ultimately, here's where it is. If I say I just don't want the highest paid safety in the league, especially when I've got Brian Branch right behind him, that's not an issue about me not liking Kirby. I love Kirby Joseph. But I got him signed this year. Mm-hmm. And there are mechanisms in place in this league where if you really want to keep him or not, we can discuss that. Yeah. I don't need to run out. And I mean, Rico, I want you to just think about this. This is just some data for you. So now, obviously, he's the highest paid safety in the league. That's above Antoine Winfield Jr., who makes 21. Again, Derwin James, never healthy, $19 million. Minka Fitzpatrick, another borderline playoff team. Buda Baker, non-playoff team. Xavier McKinney, Packers, 16.7. Jesse Bates, Atlanta, not a playoff team, $16 million. Javon Holland with the bum-ass Giants, $15 million. I can keep going, but I don't need to. If you're a big-time team, you don't pay safeties.
Nope.
So I like Kirby. I'm not slandering Kirby. I'm happy as hell for the kid. He got his money. You're out there risking your body. You deserve to get paid and take care of your family. I'm not going to shred it, but we predicted this, that it would be the day of the draft.
I'm brand.
And they would drop a bomb and pay one of their own, do it early. And the reality is, look, if they win a Super Bowl, it worked. If they didn't, it doesn't. If they make one, there'd be a debate. That's really the only thing that matters. Not you, not Rico, not me. The opinions, it's just all or nothing. They either win the Super Bowl or they don't. And look, I like signing my own players to a point, but it's kind of gotten a little far for me. You know, $22 million a year for Kirby Joseph. Well, basically now, do you plan on having $40 million of safety between Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph? So does that basically mean Laporta is gone? I mean, what are you going to do? You going to pay Gibbs $20
million? You're playing musical chairs. Somebody's going to be left out. So
sounds like J-Mo.
It really does. And that's the fan favorite because that's the one where, man, you say anything bad about him and you don't know football and how dare you. Somebody's not going to get paid. This was one where I wouldn't have done it. I think it's unnecessary. I'm like you. I'll just keep franchise tagging you if I need to.
And again, there's a fixed cost to that. And I want to make sure you don't get slandered on the text. Yes, that is a fully guaranteed bomb you're hitting your cap with. The point is, I don't know. I like Kirby Joseph a lot. I already had him under contract. Not everybody can get paid early. 4 years and $86 million, man. Yes, you're right. By year 3 and 4, the cap may go up enough. I won't care. But in the meantime, you weren't able to do anything this offseason of note because you were too busy doing this. Mm-hmm. And again, for a team where Aleem McNeil may not play till Thanksgiving or a team who's got their best pass rusher coming off a broken twig, I just prioritize different things. Yeah. I like Kirby, but he was already an employee. I don't have to pay you early.
He wasn't the one I was expecting. I thought Hutch was going to be the first one.
Well, that may be later today.
Right.
The way they operate?
Oh, it'll be at least one or two more. before the draft.
That's what it feels. Remember last year? It was insane.
And I think, what was it? Who was it? Goff was the holdout. It was like it was Sewell. It was Amon Ra. Yep. And we were like, oh, so where's Goff? And just wait. His came a couple days later.
Yeah, so look, I'd like to have a conversation about it. I don't know that that's in the offing. But there's no yelling and screaming. There's no point to it. Ultimately, they're not going to change. This is their strategy. Draft, develop, sign. And they're going to do it till the brakes come off. I mean, this is what they're going to do. They're not going to go big in free agency. They're not going to go and make a huge trade. They're just not going to do that stuff.
Yeah.
They like their room. They like their people. And even though Dan Campbell once said, we can't get seduced and fall in love with our own people, it's exactly what they're going to do. So it's either going to be good enough or it's not. And that's just where I'm at. I'm not going to lie to my audience and yell and scream about it because we expected it.
But knock on the door, it was Cupid. And Dan Campbell fell in love with the people that he asked. We should have known something, Mike, when Kirby Joseph threw out the first pitch for the Tigers. And he was like, yeah, we're close. That's when, it's imminent. It's going to happen. It did happen. I wasn't shocked. As I stated, not something that I would do. But if you keep going at this pace, in the musical chairs of paying everybody, somebody's going to be left there holding the bag. And the way it's looking, I mean, maybe it is going to be J-Mo. I think that you could have waited on this because you're right. Safety, to me, is not that make or break player that your defense absolutely has to have.
Like, yeah, but again, I know what's coming. Well, he led the league in interceptions. That's a circumstantial statistic. A lot of luck factor.
I was about to say, right place, right time for a lot of those interceptions.
Yeah, and you give him credit for some, but like some of the best corners in history, they don't get interceptions.
Because they don't throw at them.
Some of the best safeties, they don't get interceptions.
Right.
You know, I don't let that one stat guide me to where, oh, I got to pay this guy $22 million a year. I like Kirby. It's not slanderous. Just for me, I'm more fascinated. All right, who are you showing the door? Because it's just getting to a point now. You're going to start seeing names disappear. Mm-hmm. So would I have chosen Kirby over Brian Branch? No. I think Branch is more versatile. Would I have chosen Kirby over LaPorta?
I'm going to say no because I think
push.
If you have a top tight end in LaPorta, especially in the red zone, look, his numbers went down and people are like, oh, well, he wasn't. Because you had more weapons, because you had J-Mo back, because you had other people scoring. Just because his numbers went down doesn't mean he wasn't as effective as he was the first year.
I would like to know your reaction to it. And again, if it's not about liking Kirby. Let's get a little bit deeper into the conversation. Are you getting a little uncomfortable with the amount of money and how early you're paying your own people at the cost of going all in? Because, guys, that's what this is. Okay? Doing this, the byproduct of doing it the way you're doing it is you can never go all in. You can't go and get your Saquon Barkley, not positionally, but from an impact standpoint. You can't go out and make the move that puts you over the top. And for many of you, hey, hell us, I wouldn't have turned my nose at the guy. It would have been a Trey Hendrickson. Well, the reason you can't make moves like that are generally things like this.
Mm-hmm.
So just where are you at with it? I don't think it requires yelling, screaming, or, you know, any slander. But no, not surprised. Safety for me is never where I'm going to put 10% of my salary cap. But whatever. He's a good player. And I know you guys will mostly love it because you can't say anything about this team.
He's a fan favorite. Kirby Joseph, yeah.
So that's fine.
I like Minnie Merton Hanks.
He's a damn good player, Rico.
He is. He is, Mike. But yeah, a lot of the interceptions were, you know, kind of right place, right time. There you go. Okay, he got the pick. But, you know, it's safety. There's safety's coming out every year out of
college.
Just
go look at the safety contracts around the league, and outside of a couple who are making $20, $21 million, that's a $9 to $10 million position.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I'm not making that up. And yes, Kyle Hamilton will sign, and the Ravens will go over the top and pay him and do what. There's always exceptions to the rule. Is Kirby one of those?
But see, Kyle Hamilton, to me, kind of seems like their version of Branch, where you can move him around and do different things.
He's a different player. I'm with you. 248-539-9797. We'll get with you guys. We are going to get to the draft. We are certainly going to get to Pistons basketball as well. That's where my attention is today. I'm sorry. It's the biggest Pistons game in 15 years. LCA is going to be a snake pit. It's got my complete attention tonight. And they better have final countdown.
They better be, man. You courtside. Don't get run over by a player.
Nope. Definitely not.
All right, 9 minutes. We get to draft winners and losers, and then top of the hour, really zero in on the Lions, what they did, why I at least liked it, but whatever. We'll have a conversation. What we're not going to do is try to predict who they're taking in the third round. That's just a fool's errand. David, ticket text, though. I know I've got to catch up on those. What do people have to say?
Mike hit the nail on the head. The Knicks have more dudes. Still think we have a good shot to tie the series on Sunday. Ultimately, though, I think the Knicks take the series. Series to show that Kay needs a Robin.
Yeah, and again, this is the problem in this town. No one's good enough to come here. I say Devin Booker. People nope. say he's not good enough. I say Lauri Markkanen. He's not good enough. I say, fine, you want a low price option? Because he's probably pennies on the dollar. Zion Williamson. Oh, he's fat, bro. Okay.
And you got to pay that big contract he has.
Right. So, you know what? Here's who you should go and get. Zero BS. Irvin Magic Johnson. What do you think? 248. So, like, that's my whole point. The perfect player doesn't exist. But you need, if you give Cade.
No, but he's pro Lakers, so he wouldn't work here.
If you give Cade that type of help, you immediately enter the conversation of challenging for the Eastern Conference. The Celtics cannot stay together. They can't. I don't think Cleveland's real. I think they're having a magical season. The Knicks are the Knicks. The Bucks are probably losing Giannis. You want me to keep going? Your opportunity starts next year, this summer. I know what's going to happen. We're going to have these battle shows. People are like, I don't want him. Well, who do you want?
Well, just give Ron Holland some more time on the floor.
He's going to need 3 years, Rico. And you know I like
him. Okay, here's the thing, Mike. I'm being facetious. I agree with you because nothing is ever good enough. I'm with you. You'll say a name and immediately get shut down. It's not just Pistons. It's any sport.
Like
the
if
second
you
say, oh, they should go get it. Oh, that guy? Oh, he stinks.
If you got a Zion Williamson, for as many flaws as he has, I argue from day one he never wanted to be in New Orleans. You saw draft night when he had the white suit on, the whole bit. He looked like his life ended. It's a disastrous organization. Now, you have a culture here, true or false? You believe you got a culture?
Yeah.
Okay. You think you're going to roll in that locker room eating ho-hos? Malik Beasley will break his jaw. You get him up here, your career's on the line, and here's what we need. You get to play with Cade Cunningham. Can you imagine Zion at the four? That's 27-7-5.
No.
And that's a downhill player that in the fourth quarter, you're going to get to the line, and then you don't call me crying about officiating. And then you'll have a foul hunter.
The only thing about Zion, how much, and the durability factor.
Yeah, I think you approach him like the Celtics have approached Porzingis. You're going to load manage him. No, I'm not saying hard minute restriction. Yeah, here's the other news story. Get in shape. And that's part of his deal, by the way. That deal can get voided this summer.
Right.
So I'm making a point.
So I guess he's made weight as of late. Because I made that point when you were on vacation. And I guess, David, was it, you were he's made.
Yeah, that's a clause. But as of January, that's the last update I saw. He's been hitting it. So
look, I think
That we have to weigh him during the season.
Problematic. But if you get him into a winning culture, what would it look like? Guys, I don't have the answer. The point is, Rasheed Wallace wasn't a perfect player when you got him. That's reality. The going-to-work Pistons were all throwaway parts.
Oh, they were the island of misfit toys.
Billups was already on his third or fourth team. Rip Hamilton got made fun of by Michael Jordan. Ben Wallace was the guy you took because you wanted John Amici, and the Magic said no.
No, Amici had a no-trade clause and said, I'm not going to Detroit.
And then you got Rasheed Wallace, who was a problem child.
And Tayshaun was a four-year player at Kentucky, so apparently he was no good, because if he was any good, he would have came out after year one.
Flawed players can work.
Yeah.
David, go ahead.
In the playoffs, actual talent matters. We need a second star and the two athletes to just get better, more experience.
Yeah, here's the thing. If you're trying to make a trade this summer, I really find it hard to believe you'll be able to make one without giving up one of Assur or Holland. You're giving one of them up if you want to get anyone of consequence. Like a Lauri Markkanen deal, the centerpiece of it would be an Assur Thompson, two first-round picks plus.
Ivy?
Yeah, like Ivy, Assur, two first-rounders. That now, again, you don't have to say yes, but if I'm the Jazz, that's what I'm asking for. And that's the – Kenny, isn't that the art of the deal?
Great deal. What a deal.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Yes, I agree. That is the idea.
I'm going to have to designate whether I'm asking for Kenny or Kenny Trump.
KT?
Please don't say Kenny Trump again. I don't want to get people upset.
KT?
No. David. Okay.
How big, Kenny?
No, stop. Stop.
Someone asked, Scott in South Lyon asked, where was Tobias Harris last night? Just scored 8 points and we win and just dumb turnovers. Couldn't believe what I was seeing.
That was the Philadelphia version of Tobias. He had given you two really nice performances the first two games, and in game three, it was why he got chased out of Philly.
Mike and Rico, can you do me a favor? Can you check the back of your milk carton and see if Malik Beasley is on there? That is from Quentin.
Look, there's a big difference hitting shots in January and February, and then in late April. Yeah. And he's struggling right now.
2 of 10 last night from the three-point line.
After being 1 of 8 in game two.
But hey, you know, he was hyping up the crowd.
Now, look, I like him. I don't have a problem. You want him on your team as a sixth man. You want to have him as a shooter and a defender. I'm fine with all of it. Better be careful the contract you signed him to. But now, if you can add a star, that takes the pressure off a guy like Malik.
Yes, now he becomes extra. So when he has a bad game, your stars, I got you. Don't worry about today.
This is Mike from Washington Township. I blame last night's game 100% on Cade. Ignore the final numbers. It looked from the opening tip like he was throwing the game.
Okay, we've reached Planet of the Absurd. Let's go to Brett, 97.1. Brett, what's going on, buddy?
Guys, I think our answer for our Robin was actually in the arena last night. Mm. And I think it's Dave Bing.
Yeah, exactly. There, you know what? Haywood in his prime as well.
You know what? Brett, you would have to bring his jersey back down, and that's not good enough, so.
That's true. Yep, I hear you. Okay, so last night broke me, completely broke me. So I'm a diehard Piston fan, but I'm not going to lie. Football is that's the main sport for me. So when it comes to hockey, basketball, baseball, I know about the Detroit teams. Outside of that, you know, I just know the Stars, and that's pretty much it. So here's what I'm thinking. I was broken last night, but also I was hopeful. Because here's the one thing about the Knicks, and you've said it before, they're all go. They have one of the worst benches in the entire league. Mm-hmm. So they're go, go, go. And we did come up just short. And it is true, exactly what you guys were saying. We are missing that piece. And you know what? Up until this point, I've been kind of that guy just hopefully just thinking, you know what? We got that team. If we can win the first series, that's good. You know, I don't see us being the Celtics or the Cavs, you know. If we can have some sort of Miracle Tigers playoff run, you know, of course, I'm going to love it. We're all going to love it. But we need somebody, and we might not make it out of the first round, guys, and it's going to be okay.
Yeah, 100%. Good. Listen, this is still one of the great turnarounds in the history of this city. Mm-hmm. It's one of the 10 biggest turnarounds in NBA history. Brett, there's no scenario, anything that takes place, I'm going to be negative about. All we were doing is pointing out that when people want to fight us for this viewpoint of, hey, this summer – need to make a splash. Last night is why? Because they're that close from being a force in the East. They are.
So I'm that guy who wants to keep his players. I'm very much like, I know how you feel about re-signing Kirby Joseph and all that. And I'm just like, I love my guys. So when it comes to the Pistons, I know. But I got very real last night. And you know what? There were several Pistons I said, we can't part ways with. But after last night, if we can get Devin Booker, you know what, and the man bleeds Detroit, please, he's a star, get him here. But I don't really know what Phoenix needs outside of him and Durant. I'm thinking originally during the season, I said you can't get rid of Oscar Thompson, and you can't get rid of Jalen Duren. You know what, if they got to go, they got to go. All I need here is I need Cade, I need Sass, I need Ron Holland, and I would love to keep Jaden Ivey, and if possible, Beasley. Everyone else honestly can go with first round picks, ship the rest of them off. I love what they've done here, but we need Booker.
I'd love it.
Is that out of the question?
No, I don't. Look, I don't think anything's out of the question in the NBA. And Brett, listen, some people will tell you, I don't think Booker's going to hold up. His body will betray him. I lean more towards let's get a stretch four. You know, I would re-explore a trade for Cam Johnson. I know that's not a star, but Cam is definitely better than anything else you
have. He's a really good role player.
Right. Lauri Markkanen, I'm looking at that. And yeah, I'm looking at Zion. Because when you put a power forward out there that is going to draw defenders away from the basket, it will make Durin more effective around the rim, on the glass. Look, I can't flip the whole roster. But if I can get a four out there that can really shoot the rock, that I can run isolation set for, like with Zion, you could run clear outs.
You could take Cade off the ball, have Zion at the top of the key, and he goes downhill all fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. All jokes aside about him blowing a sneaker or weighing 800 pounds. I'm just, you've got to, look, if it's Lauri Markkanen, it looks different. That's more two-man game, pick and roll, pick and pop, just dead-eye shooter. Mm-hmm. You got to have something. Hey, if you want to create a super backcourt, not mad at that either. But I'm leaning more towards the fours.
But yeah, Cade and Markkanen on that pick him. Yeah, that would be something. And then I'm just thinking like Cade, like especially in the game one and two, where he was coming off the screens and making his baskets. Like,
look at the shooting you had.
Another option.
You'd have Cade, you'd have Markkanen, you'd have Beasley, you'd have Hardaway Jr. Yeah, like you would have shooters everywhere. That can make up for the fact that Durin can't score with two hands and a flashlight. But again, those are the moves that this summer I'm going to be pumped up, and I hope they explore. I do, because I think the team is close.
Who makes the moves first? Pistons, Wings. 248.
Yeah. Well, how about this? Somebody want to wake Stevie out of his coma? Where's the end-of-season press conference? At the world headquarters. Where is it?
Dude, I've been pissed about that now, too, because we've heard from the coach, we've heard from the captain, we've heard from a lot of guys, we've heard from a lot of guys.
Was he at the game last night? Were you sitting with him?
I did not see Steve there, no.
No, seriously, where is he to answer for this year's malfeasance?
Usually it's day after season ends is when you hear from Steve, and that's been the case for the past several years. We got crickets. I don't know. I can't speak to it.
Probably be impromptu 5 o'clock.
That actually would make sense. A news dump right about 5:30.
And only the beat writers invited.
That's right.
Beat writers invited, knowing that you're covering the Pistons and the Lions. So, yes.
Yeah, no hard questions allowed. No questions.
All right. So three people will be there.